This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. In the aftermath of the mass shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, the Connecticut General Assembly will open their five-month session this week with a focus on reducing gun violence. And my guest, Dr. Dariush Mozafarian, may have some ideas about how to go about curbing gun-related deaths. He joins me on the line from the Harvard School of Public Health, where he's an associate professor in the Department of Epidemiology. He's also the lead author of a paper that was published earlier today in the Journal of the American Medical Association titled Curbing Gun Violence: Lessons from Public Health Successes. Dr. Mozafarian, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me on for this important topic.
Before we get to the strategies that you outlined in your just published research paper, why should we or should we be thinking of gun violence as a public health concern?
Yeah, I think this is a key point that we're trying to make here. I wrote this article. I'm a cardiologist who has studied for many years the harmful effects of harmful behaviors. I wrote this with a pediatrician who studies child health and child safety and an economist who studies gun violence. And together, we found that, you know, gun control is largely approached in discussions and policy and debates about issues of gun ownership, just who should own guns, how can we restrict certain types of guns, gun checks, and so forth. And while we do think those things would be partly effective, gun violence represents a much larger public health problem that has roots in education, social norms, and behavioral issues. And we really need to learn and look at other public health crises that we've had in the past and how we've addressed those to address gun violence.
So when you start talk about addressing other public health crises, you think about wearing seatbelts, smoking too many cigarettes, that kind of thing. It doesn't seem on its face to equate to gun violence. But what you've said in your paper is that there are some proven remedies, not just theories that you're putting forth, but proven remedies that worked when you addressed people's behavior, as you've said.
No, that's exactly right. You know, we have a lot of problems and you know, unhealthy behaviors in the United States that we haven't addressed very well, but there's at least three examples of things that we've addressed very well. And one is tobacco. One is unintentional poisonings from drugs and cleaners and things for children. And one is motor vehicle safety, automobile crashes. The three of those in the last century have been reduced dramatically by broad public health approaches. And what's nice is if you look at those problems and how we address them, you come up with evidence-based, off-the-shelf approaches that we can just implement right away because we know that they work.
Give us some examples.
Well, so I think there are many examples that we highlight. One simple example is taxation. Taxation of tobacco was very important to provide a stable source of revenue for education programs. And taxation is appropriate because it really represents better represents the cost of the product. So when somebody buys a product, there are societal costs associated with that product. So a meaningful national tax on guns and ammunition would still allow people to buy those guns and ammunition, and if they wanted to do so. But then that would provide a stable source of revenue that could be used for media and education and prevention efforts to prevent gun violence and to prevent gun accidents. Now that's one example. Another example is protections in automobiles. So in addition to seatbelts, which you mentioned, which is an active protection, there's passive protection that's been developed into cars, padded interiors, collapsible steering columns, airbags. There could be passive protection built into guns. A final example from accidental poisonings, I have three young children, and every time I go to the pediatrician, he asks us about where are we keeping our prescription medicines, where are we keeping our cleaners, be sure that they're out of reach of children. We've never been asked about guns and where our guns are kept and gun safety. So I think that, you know, primary care counseling for just gun safety, recognizing at-risk behaviors for gun violence could be very important.
You have in your paper a chart, and on one side is established public health successes, and on the other is application to gun violence reduction. And there's a couple that I just want to highlight because they seem so simple. For example, driver education is an established public health success. And on the other side, that could be applied to gun violence, mandatory gun safety classes. Licensing, public health success. Licensing with periodic renewal on the gun violence side, including safety test and background check. These are kinds of things that I think people could get around and see how they could be implemented. And it doesn't, as you say in your piece, impose fears or bring up fears in people who own guns. These are normal kinds of restrictions that one has in other parts of our lives.
I think so. I mean, everybody owns cars. I think there are more cars in the United States than people. And you know, we're not saying that people shouldn't drive their cars, but we've done a lot of things over the last several decades to make driving safer. And so per mile driven, deaths from car accidents have been reduced 90%. 90%. If we could reduce gun violence by 90% and not, you know, have to take away people's guns that they may want to wish to use for safety or for hunting or other things, I think that would be something that would be a public health success, constitutionally acceptable and acceptable to all sides. So I think that there are very sensible things we can do to reduce gun violence.
I'm speaking with Dr. Dariush Mozafarian. He's an associate professor of epidemiology at Harvard School of Public Health, and he's the lead author of Curbing Gun Violence, Lessons from Public Health Successes. So here's the thing with beginning to think about adapting people's behavior and changing cultural norms in America. It takes a while. You state some really powerful statistics in your piece about what used to be in terms of tobacco deaths and now how we've reduced that, what used to be in terms of auto safety deaths and how we reduced that with some of these simple public health successes. But there was a long period of transitioning to both change minds and to change behavior. So what you're saying here is that you can't apply this to gun violence and expect it to be overnight as well.
Well, I think that there are two lessons here. So one is that you need to have multi-component policies. So any of these policies in isolation by itself would have only a modest effect. And so one of the reasons it took so much time is that the policies were implemented in piecemeal. One was implemented, you know, 5 or 10 years later, people said, oh, you know, we're missing this piece. And they added that component, 5 or 10 years later, another component was added. But, you know, we have this now 100-year experience in treating tobacco and motor vehicle safety and unintentional poisonings. We could take that experience and apply it much more quickly and apply things simultaneously. Now, it still wouldn't happen overnight. You're right, but it does not need to take decades. So I think within several years to within a decade, if we implemented, you know, all of these policies to change social norms, to have media and education campaigns that are well-funded from taxation to reduce gun violence and gun suicides and accidents, if we had routine counseling, if we had, you know, sensible safety strategies similar to what we have for motor vehicles, or for gun ownership, we could go a long way towards reducing gun violence.
Dr. Mozafarian, how can you get heard? This is a moment in time where lots of stuff is going on, including with the new Congress this week. So many bills have been introduced, nearly a dozen, by various legislators addressing all kinds of things to try to curb gun violence. How do you keep what you've written here and what you've laid out as proven strategies not getting lost in all of the kerfuffle about and a concern about gun violence?
Well, I think that's the really important question, and where people such as yourself and shows such as yourself are quite important. You know, one of the reasons that I wanted to write this piece and that we wrote this piece together is that in the immediate aftermath of the Newtown tragedy, nearly all of the articles and reports and discussions that I saw were focused on just gun ownership, on just what should we do to get rid of assault rifles and have background checks and safety checks and so forth. And we're not saying those things would not be at least partly effective. Those things should be pursued, but that's one piece of the puzzle. It's also one highly politicized piece of the puzzle, with lots of opponents on one side and lots of proponents on one side. So what we're proposing is to take a broader view and to target gun violence, not just gun ownership, but gun violence. And everybody should be able to agree that gun violence is a problem that we need to control. And so I think that we need to get this message to think about public health, to think about these issues and come up with better strategies. As just one example, there's a scientific database that includes all of the publications, many of the publications that have ever been written on topics. And I looked up taxation and gun control in writing this piece, and I found less than a dozen previous scientific papers on even that topic of just taxation for helping with gun violence and control. So I think that getting this message out is very important.
Well, we will check back with you as this conversation continues, the public conversation about this. In the meantime, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
I've been speaking with Dr. Dariush Mozafarian, an associate professor of epidemiology at Harvard School of Public Health. He's the lead author of Curbing Gun Violence, Lessons from Public Health Successes. Thanks for listening to another edition of Boston Public Radio. You can find us on the web at wgbhnews.org/BPR. I'm Callie Crossley. Have a great afternoon.